The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a fine good morning to you all. Here we go. Final two shows of our season as everybody getting excited for the college football season to kick in and NFL. Hope you enjoyed Seahawks preseason action last night. They got one more next Saturday in Green Bay. But for the next hour, I'll be here with you. We have a very, very busy show. A lot of golf going on this weekend. Whether you're watching on TV, whether you're headed out to Columbia Edgewater to enjoy the LPGA in town for their annual stop at the Portland Classic, we'll head out there, actually, with a update. We'll get to that in a little bit. There's Schultzy. How you doing, Schultzy?
What's up, man? I think I'm finally recovered from heat exhaustion. Dude, I was in Boston all week, and it was humid. I missed the 100 degrees here in Oregon, but...
Yeah, I don't think we ever got to triple digits. I think we were 97, 98, okay. And it was a couple of days. Clearly the warmest, but I don't know that we've officially hit triple digits in town this summer, which is the first summer in a while that has not occurred. So,
well, call yourself lucky. I was literally, like the old saying, like sweat was falling down my ass, cracked,
man.
Like Niagara Falls. It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
No thanks.
No thanks. Did you get to Fenway while you were there?
Unfortunately, they weren't in town.
Oh.
So it just kind of missed. Usually they're there. We just kind of happen to get there. I even got there one year where the Mariners were in town playing
the Red Sox.
And I was like, how lucky am
I? There you go.
But no, it was still fun hiding in the AC. So.
Well, there you go. Well, your Mariners are going to be on the fan all weekend. They are taking on the god-awful Mets, which couldn't come at a better time for the Mariners. So today at 12:30, and then tomorrow night, they are playing the Little League Classic Sunday night game on ESPN.
Yeah.
We'll have that for you, coverage at 12:30 today. So we'll see if they can get back and leapfrog the Astros as they fight for the AL West lead.
It's like the third time the Mariners have been on national television in what, 20 years?
So
nice to see.
Well, Dumper got another one last night.
He almost got two.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Mets bullpen is atrocious. So,
so is the Mariners.
Should be feasting. Well, it was 11-9, so buckle up. So that's going on. But as I mentioned, we have a very, very busy show here for the next hour. And some of you, yes, the plan was to be out at Forest Hills. Unfortunately, I was out there playing yesterday. Talked to Marcus, and they had a little some staffing issues, and he wanted to be able, and he wasn't going to be there because they've got the Northwest golf guys are doing an event there on Sunday. He's got to get ready for them. Had to juggle some things around, and so we took a rain check. But we'll talk a little bit about what's going on. Shot an 82 yesterday, and left easily 4 or 5 shots out there. So the quest to break 80 is on. We will definitely be on the road next week. We will be at the Portland Indoor Golf Club down there in Beaverton, a newer facility. Sebastian and Cole, who have been part of the Scout Golf Junior Development Program. They've been at several different facilities along the way, but the programs get so big, they need more space, they need more, and the clubs that they were associated with wasn't just vibing with them, so they went down into that industrial park area off of Allen Boulevard, found themselves a big old space, and have just a tremendous practice facility. The TrackMan bays are all there. I was out there earlier in the week meeting with them, prepping for it, but we are going to be there live, and then Sports Saturday is going to follow us live. So we'll be out there, tell you all about it. Very excited, especially as we get to school time. The weather starts to turn. We know there's a lot of people here in the Northwest. When it's golf time, April-ish through mid-October, warm, generally dry. But a lot of times trying to get out there when we can, especially if you have families and kids and life going on, it is a great place to really keep your game sharp, develop some of the things. Some of the putting stuff that they had set up was absolutely amazing, where you can get some instruction. You can get some lessons from the guys, a lot of very skilled teachers and PGA professionals there. But then it's set up where you don't need them constantly. They show you how to use the equipment, how to take advantage of all the practice tools and areas. There is some workout equipment and things in their areas to do some, you know, just some training that's golf specific. And it's 24/7. So once you, it's a secure building. So once you're in, once you're a member, and there are still some memberships available, and once you know how to use everything, you can go in there. You can go in there at 2 a.m. in the morning. If you're, you know, in the medical field, you're on call, you have swing shifts or something, and you're off work at 1 in the morning, but you're still wired, you don't want to go home and wake up, you can head on in. So,
you're hammered and you want to go do something.
Well, you don't, no, we don't advise that. We don't advise that.
Please treat everybody with respect.
No, this is for golfers that are very avid, that play regularly, but maybe you want to, and I am in that, but I'm like, oh my goodness, you're stuck right there. You've got a, you know, 17, 18 handicap, and it's like, I feel like I'm not that far away. I just need to be organized. I need to be diligent. If you want to hone in on specific parts of your game, short game, iron approaches, like I said, putting, all of those sorts of things, they've got something that they can customize. So we'll be out there for our final show of the season. But coming up today, our good buddy Josh Gaunt from the Oregon Golf Beat. He's been out at Columbia Edgewater, followed Kiara Romero around yesterday in her round. And she is up in contention. She Monday qualified. She's the number one amateur in the world, the junior to be at Oregon, and has had quite a summer. Played deep into the U.S. Women's Amateur out at Bandon last week. I think got to the quarterfinals before she bowed out. But there, Gigi Stoll, Caroline Inglis are in the field. Brooke Henderson looking for a win. She got her first win there, so we'll get a full update from the Standard Portland Classic with Josh coming up at 8:15. Then at 8:30, we are going up north. Brewster, Washington, Gamble Sands is the premier golf destination in the state of Washington, quickly becoming one of those golf Valhallas, if you will, in the Pacific Northwest. They have opened up their second 18. Scarecrow is now open and available for play. And so the head PGA pro is going to join us out at Gamble Sands, Randy Ballard, talk about the new 18. They've got a short course. There's a putting course. So now 36 championship holes, opportunities to head up there if you want to make the trek and the voyage. Opportunities in the fall maybe to take advantage of some things. So that's what's going on. It is a busy, busy weekend of golf. So let's get started as we always do going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and the latest news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of golf in the Northwest.
Four tours going on, and the amateur. We'll get to the amateur later in the day, but the Champions Tour north of the border, Canyon Meadows Golf and Country Club, Calgary, Alberta, event number 19 of their schedule. The Rogers Charity Classic, Stephen Alker, Miguel Ángel Jiménez tied after 7-under 63s in the first round. Shane Birch in at 6-under, and Tommy Gainey making his Champions Tour debut in at 6-under. Trying to be the youngest Champions Tour victor ever. He just had his 50th birthday earlier this week on Wednesday, so into the field. But Miguel Ángel Jiménez looking for his fifth win. He leads the Champions Tour with four wins already this year. Alker looking for his first victory of the season. Corn Ferry Tour, they're out at our buddy Jeff Sanders' spot, the Albertsons Boise Open Hillcrest Country Club. They are one of the long-running tournaments on the Corn Ferry Tour, and this one's important because the top 156 on the points list after this event will qualify for the season-ending four-event run. as they try to not only secure tour cards for the top 20 finishers, but play their way, get themselves qualified for Q School in the fall. Philip Knowles is your leader. A veteran of the Korn Ferry Tour, spent some time on the PGA Tour, but this season, just six starts, only one top 10. He's 137th on the points list, but at 13 under par, he leads Adrien Dumont de Chassert, the Belgian, who he is in line to get his, if he can have another great finish. He's tied at 12 under with Zicheng Dao of China. Johnny Kiefer is right there at 11 under. He secured his tour card. He is the points leader. The top three guys secured their tour cards already. We mentioned the LPGA Tour in Portland, Columbia Edgewater for the Standard Portland Classic. And Jungyoon Lee, 5, is your leader, 12 under par. Grace Kim, who won the Evian earlier this year, tied with Gurleen Kaur at 11 under par. And Gurleen, an unfamiliar name, just making three cuts so far this year, was a rookie last year, a four-time All-American out of Baylor coming in. We'll get a full report from Josh Gaunt coming up here in just a few minutes. But the PGA Tour, they are in Caves Valley in Maryland. It is the second of the FedEx Cup Championship playoff events, the BMW Championship. Robert McIntyre followed up his 62 with a 64. He is at 14 under par, a five-shot lead over Scottie Scheffler. McIntyre will play for the European side of the Ryder Cup in a month down at Bethpage Black. He had the putter rolling and just crushing the field in strokes gained on approaches to the green and putting. Scottie Scheffler, he just hangs around. 66-65, putting him in position again. They will be in the final pairing, going out at 10:45 this morning. Ludvig Åberg and Hideki Matsuyama will be in the second-to-last pairing. There's Tommy Fleetwood. I'm convinced. I don't know what he's got to do. He's just may never win on the PGA Tour. He had his chance last week. Couldn't even get into the playoff with a tough finish. You feel for the guy. He's one of the most likable guys on the tour and in golf, but for whatever reason, just can't close. He's in a log jam at 6-under with Michael Kim and Maverick McNealy. So you've got guys trying to get in position for next week's tour championship for the top 30. So Michael Kim and Harry Hall right now are playing their way. They came in the 40s. If they can stay up there in top 10 positions, likely to be into the top 30, Akshay Bhatia and Lucas Glover, who were 29 and 30 coming in, find themselves needing to do some work here on the weekend to get in. So you'll have coverage right now, ESPN Plus, 10 o'clock on Golf Channel, noon on NBC, as you see things pare down. And we'll talk a little bit more Ryder Cup, because after this tournament, the top six automatic qualifying positions will be set for the U.S. team. And then it'll be up to Keegan Bradley, who is playing in this, to decide his other six captains' picks in a couple of weeks. And will he be a playing captain for the first time since Arnold Palmer over 60 years ago? So that's what's going on. When we come back, let's go out to Columbia Edgewater. Josh Gaunt, Oregon Golf Beat, he's going to join us. He spent time chasing down some of the local golfers there yesterday, spent some time with Kiara Romero, the number one amateur player in the world, who is going to be a junior at the University of Oregon, playing her way into contention. What do things look like for her moving forward? And what are we expecting this weekend? Good names on the leaderboard, not some of the top players. So we'll also talk about how this tournament is in position. The Standard is locked in as the title sponsor here for a few years. What are the plans? I know the tournament loves coming here. They love playing Columbia Edgewater. But what are plans maybe to try and continue to keep this a premier event on the tour? Just getting started. It's Golf in the Northwest here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar. I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
8:16 here this morning. Golf in the Northwest. Our penultimate show of the season, and a busy weekend of golf all around. But the LPGA Tour making its annual stop here in Portland for the Standard Golf Standard Portland Classic, and out of Columbia Edgewater. Pleased to have joining us back Josh Gaunt, who covers the local scene of golf, and you can see his work at OregonGolfBeat.com. Josh Gaunt 17 on X, and follow him on Instagram. So great pictures. But you were out there at Columbia Edgewater, especially yesterday. Great story up following Kiara Romero around, who has played herself into contention at 8 under par as the amateur and the number one amateur in the world, playing in front of a lot of friends and family as well. Good morning, Josh. How much fun did you have out there yesterday following a lot of the local players around?
Good morning, Jason. Yeah, it was a ton of fun out there yesterday following Kiara. And there's also Karen Inglis from Oregon, from Eugene, Oregon. She was out there. She had a crowd following her, and Kiara had a pretty big crowd following her as well. And so yeah, just a lot of fun. I mean, the conditions are just great out at Columbia Edgewater right now, and yeah, just a lot of fun, a lot of people out there supporting the event. And yeah, I mean, just some amazing golf by the pros. And yeah, gonna be more excited for the weekend and storylines that will unfold.
Well, no question, and we've been following Kiara. She of course won the Big Ten championship playing for the University of Oregon and leading that team. Won the regional to get them to the national championship tournament. Unfortunately, still coming up short when they get and they qualified for the match play events. Just couldn't get to that elusive championship. It's the only thing Coach Radley and that crew has not done, I think, in the last decade. But then she went on, played deep. I think she got, did she get to the quarterfinals? Was it the round of 16 of the quarterfinals at the U.S. Women's Amateur? But she's had an unbelievable run this summer. How's she doing in terms of energy-wise? Obviously, playing well here this weekend. But how has she managed being the number one ranked amateur in the world now?
Yeah, great question. Probably some, maybe some nerves that come along with that, but I think her and Coach Radley, just kind of through this sophomore season, he's talked about her maturity, her development, and winning those, you know, the Big Ten title, and then that regional, like you mentioned, the NCAA Gold Canyon Regional, that was the precursor to the national championship. But I think she's getting more comfortable in the spotlight. You know, she played in the U.S. Women's Open earlier this year as well. She tied for 45th in that event, made the weekend, and she shot a 67 that day, which was 5 under, and was the low round of the final round to tie for 45th. So that's a big stage. You're playing against LPGA Tour players. That was her second U.S. Women's Open. So she's playing in bigger events, and then she gets a sponsor's exemption this week to play in the Portland Classic. You know, showing up big time to be 4 shots off the lead heading into the weekend, playing in front of, you know, crowds, playing in front of more people, the TV cameras, the coverage that's going on this weekend as well. I think she's handling it in an impressive fashion. And yeah, excited to kind of see what might unfold this weekend with what she can do.
Well, and yeah, and you got a chance to kind of follow her closely and interview her a little bit following. She seems to be very within herself, getting more comfortable with the spotlight on her, but not one that comes easily. What's been the biggest adjustment in talking with her a little bit about much more notoriety being paid to her in her golf.
Yeah. I think she kind of stays within herself, like you said, that she's staying humble. She's staying grounded. She's not, you know, not getting too ahead of herself. She's kind of just focused. She's not looking at the leaderboards. You know, she mentioned that yesterday when I talked to her, that she's not worried about, you know, leaderboard or who's around or what other people are doing, but just kind of focusing on what she can control, you know, hitting fairways, hitting greens, and then giving herself chances to make birdies or, you know, salvage or getting up and down or whatnot. But, I think she's actually showing a lot of maturity. She's 19 years old, so really young to be at that number one world amateur golf ranking status, the number one status. But yeah, I think she's kind of just, you know, she did mention some nerves, and you know, it is probably an adjustment playing in front of crowds and more people and whatnot. But I think she's just kind of focusing on the things she can control, and she also received the Mark McCormick medal this week as the leading female player in the world amateur golf ranking. So that was like another award that she got for being number one. And that kind of helps get her on the LEAP pathway for the LPGA to get her LPGA tour card. She needs 9 more points to get the 20 points to be able to do that. So maybe in the next year or so, she's getting an invite, you know, if she gets to that 20-point threshold. So just a lot of maturity, I think, she's showing in this process.
Yeah, I think her junior year coming up at Oregon will be, she can see now the path to the LPGA Tour and some other things, and will help her focus on being comfortable, being the player with the target on her back, as well as playing from the lead. So she can't just kind of come from behind. She played at the Augusta Women's National Amateur earlier this year, probably will be headed back there again. Gigi Stoll was one of the other local players. We've been following her since her exploits at Beaverton High School to Arizona, and now through the Epson Tour onto the LPGA Tour. Still looking to have that big breakthrough victory, but she's always a lot of fun. I'm sure her dad was out there and following her. What are some of the other storylines that Brooke Henderson was obviously who won her first LPGA event here before she was a member 10 years ago? What are some of the other storylines out there among the galleries and players that have the bigger crowds?
Yeah, Gigi, a local player, she had a crowd following her. And like you mentioned earlier, Carolyn Inglis from Eugene, she had a contingent of people out there supporting her. Rose Zhang actually had a big round yesterday. I think she shot a 64, I believe, yesterday to get to she shot a 64, and she was playing in the group behind Carolyn Inglis, and on hole 9, as they were about to make the turn, Inglis was teeing off on 10, and then Rose Zhang was playing in her approach shot to number 9, hole 9, and she dunked her approach for eagle, and that brought some roars from the crowd that was all in the area at that point. But it was fun to kind of be around for that moment on hole 9, and she made it. I think she had a 64 even with a bogey on 17, so she was on fire yesterday, which is a fun to see a really low round, take place. And Allison Takamiya from George Fox, she just missed the cut, but she was at 2 under after the first day from George Fox University. So another local player who was on the cut line. But yeah, just some of the local players. Brooke Henderson, like you mentioned, was, I think, in second place, and she was back-to-back winner in 2015 and 16. She's still in contention, but Grace Kim, who won the Evian, like you mentioned, she's one stroke off the lead heading into today. So, yeah, a lot of great action, and yeah, root for those local players who are, you know, teeing off this morning, and Kira will tee off later in the afternoon.
Yeah, it'll be, she's off at 1:10 p.m., so the last group will be off at 2:10 p.m. That'll be Jeongyun Lee 5 and Grace Kim. And so some familiar names up there as well, especially coming in around Jin Young Ko will be out at 12:50. Brooke Henderson will be playing with S.H. Park. Rose Zhang, Stacey Lewis are playing together. Stacey, a former champion, of course. So a lot of great great things going on. How were the crowds out there? I know that this tournament has gone through a lot of different sponsors, and there's been a dedicated group of local people trying to keep this thing going. But how have the crowds been? How's the support been this week?
Yeah, the crowds, I was there on Thursday and Friday, and the crowds were strong this week. I think now with the Standard coming on as the title sponsor, it's really reinvigorated the energy behind the tournament and the sponsorship and the connection to the community. The commissioner, the LPGA Tour commissioner, was out, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday night for a dinner with sponsors, and kind of a sign of, you know, that things are going well in this tournament, and that it's bringing people together. It's bringing the community together, not just the golf community, but, you know, business community as well. And I think there's a lot of new energy to what is happening this year. And I expect, you know, bigger crowds even this weekend, you know, with people not having to work on the weekend and maybe some more availability to get out there. But yeah, I think the title sponsor from the Standard is really helping push the tournament forward. And yeah, just bringing some new hope for, you know, that this tournament's going to stick around and hopefully be around for a long time.
Well, there you go. Head on out. Tee times, they're getting ready to go here shortly. So still time to get out there. Tickets available. It is a great walking course, and it looks like the worst of the rain has gone through. I would imagine to see some low scores today, a little moisture in the greens overnight, and everything in ideal conditions. Josh Gaunt, you can see all his work if you want to find out more about the reports out there. Kiara Romero, OregonGolfBeat.com. It was great to catch up with you, Josh. Have a blast out there at Columbia Edgewater the rest of the weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, thank you, Jason. Take care.
All right, take care. Josh Gaunt there with an update from the Standard Portland Classic. Always a fun time, always a great venue and event out there. And congratulations once again, Jim Myers and his crew, the superintendent. They always get rave reviews from the tour there. So it's nice to see professional golf here in Portland, and hopefully we can see more of it down the road. When we come back, we're going to make the turn. We're going to head up north about 6 hours into the Central Washington, Brewster to be specific. Gamble Sands, one of the newer golf destinations, quickly became one of the best U.S. public golf destinations in the entire country. They have opened up a new 18. Randy Ballard is the PGA head professional there. He joins us next. It's Golf in the Northwest on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moment. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks again to Josh Gaunt. Hopefully you're headed out to Columbia Edgewater at some point this weekend. Take in the final rounds of the Portland Classic. And watching the FedEx Cup playoffs come down with the BMW Championship and next week's Tour Championships, we'll start to have clarity on the Ryder Cup teams for both the United States and Europe. That is next month. So lots of great professional golf going on. But It is maybe the best time of the year as we get into late summer, early fall in the Pacific Northwest to go out and play. And one of the finest facilities in all the country is up at Gamble Sands, Brewster, Washington. It's about a 5.5-6 hour drive here from the Portland area. If you have not been up, unbelievable link style courses. David McClay Kidd with an architect, and the newest 18 is now open, Scarecrow. So you have 36 championship holes. There is a short course, there is a putting course, there is everything that you would want. Stunning landscapes all around. If you want to make the pilgrimage, we are pleased to have joining us the PGA head professional at Gamble Sands, Randy Ballard. Good morning, Randy. How was life in Brewster this morning?
It's beautiful up here. I'll tell you what, we're enjoying this cooler weather coming through the Northwest lately. Nice to be not in the hundreds. It is amazing out here right now.
Well, and for people, I mean, you think, okay, we think Wenatchee, maybe Central Washington, Ellensburg, and then you get up into the North Cascades. Where exactly is Brewster kind of fit into that? And where you spent a lot of time, you worked a couple of courses in Central Oregon in your PGA career. Working through, is it how similar, how different is the climate and the topography from Central Oregon to where Brewster is?
I'll tell you what, a lot of people don't know where we are up here. We are a bit out of the way. Kind of makes it the special part of it. We are about an hour and 15 minutes north of Wenatchee. So if you are going through there at all, just a little jaunt right up the river, up the Columbia. And to be honest, it's Highway 97 all the way, right from outside of where you guys are, Biggs Junction, all the way up, easy to get to. Topography and climate, I'll tell you what, it's pretty similar to what we had. As you noted, I did some time at Pronghorn in Central Oregon and some time at Crooked River Ranch. Actually, pretty similar. A little bit less juniper trees. We actually don't have any trees on property. But as far as the heat, the weather, the summertime, the beautiful September fall days, it's very similar to that Central Oregon climate.
And Gamble Sands, now a few years that it's been open, you guys have been winning awards. You'll see at the top of the list in terms of facilities available to the public, the general public, to go play top courses in the country. And now we mentioned you opened a brand new 18 earlier this month in Scarecrow, David McClay Kidd as the lead architect. How has that been received? Can you get a tee time yet? And how has play been? How has it been received? And how is it different from the original 18 at Gamble Sands?
Yeah, the reception's been phenomenal. A lot of excitement around it. You'd mentioned tee times are tough to come by. We have a couple of foursomes here and there sprinkled along weekends or difficult weekdays, still very available. It's a phenomenal course. Great complementary course to the original. You're seeing a lot more undulation in the fairways, more undulation in the greens. I would say a little bit more aggressive bunkering around the green complexes. Maybe a little bit smaller in the greens as well, and a little bit more domed and more just fun around those green complexes, to where you're going to see, I'd say, the average player seeing a little bit more difficulty out there, maybe kind of a 5 to 7 stroke, maybe more difficulty level out there, but very fun. Very fun, a little bit shorter layout, but it you can't get in trouble out there. It's been phenomenal.
Fantastic. And so, yeah, you can go back to just shy of 7,000 yards on the card. But I think what makes these golfing destinations, these resort, and what has been done so well, we've seen it at Bandon, we saw it at Gamble Sands, other places, making sure you have enough different tee areas. It's not about, and I think we're finally starting to get there back again with golf, you know, public golf, amateur golf, recreational golf. This de-emphasis on necessarily length, let the professionals and the top amateurs go. And it's fun to see facilities that can do that if you can host a USGA event or something like that down the road. But make sure that players of all, you know, abilities or handicaps have an opportunity to come out there and experience it and all of the challenge and difficulty that you would have. But I don't have 250 yard carries off the tee.
Absolutely. You nailed it on that. So we do have five sets of tees plus a combo tee kind of around that white blue traditional area. You know, the forward tee is all the way sub 5,000 yards to, you know, a little over 7,000 on the original Gamble course to, you nailed it, about 69.8 or so on Scarecrow. Yeah, you get back on some of those, the back tees, maybe one or two forced carries, but the forward tees, very fair off the tee, wide landing zones out here if you haven't been out to Gamble Zone, Gamble Sands. Easy to hit, very playable. And I'll tell you what, similar to links courses, you can putt from 50, 60, 70 yards out on almost every hole out here, including the short course. So very playable for everybody. Very fun layouts.
Randy Ballard's the PGA head golf professional out at Gamble Sands. Now that the facility has been up with the original 18 for a while, you've added, there's a short course, a 14-hole short course. There's a putting course, as you mentioned. You've added the second 18. Now that what is in terms of, obviously it's a, you know, remote destination, there is some lodging there on site. How are things around Brewster though for people that want to come out and make a few days out of it? Is there starting to be some other things coming in around them, whether it's dining, whether it's who knows what, to make a full experience getaway out of the experience?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Lake Chelan, a very large, popular area for, you know, getaways. Beautiful, beautiful, similar to kind of a Lake Tahoe, you know, mini. It's about 40 minutes away. Omak, Okanagan, just about 30 minutes north. Brewster, still kind of a fruit working man's town. It's starting to grow a little bit. A couple of restaurants here, but, you know, no nightlife here in Brewster. But plenty of restaurants, like I noted too. Chelan is a beautiful, beautiful area. Multiple wineries that you can visit. Definitely make a trip out of it. You noted lodging. We actually just added 40 more rooms, all double kings. You know, bring the family up, bring the friends up, get the buddy, you know, the boys buddy trip together. We have 77 rooms. You know, we're starting to build out, heading in the right direction for that fun getaway weekend.
Oh, that's fantastic. As far as Scarecrow itself, looking at it, and you can go online, gamblesands.com, and that'll where you want to go in. They've got everything and great. Looks like, you know, pictures. I'm assuming some drones were used there to kind of let you see everything from overhead. Is there a designed kind of signature hole, or what? Which of the holes have people decided is the one you're going to get that group photo, whether it's on the tee box or on the green? What's quickly becoming the most talked about hole on Scarecrow?
I would say number 11 out on Scarecrow is going to be the most talked about. It's about 135, 150 yards out on the point. It almost overlooks the Columbia River. It goes right out on a little piece of land, a little peninsula, just beautiful. Overlooks Lake Pateras and the Columbia River. You see Brewster in the background, some rolling hills. Great little par three, great picture and photo op area down there. And it's just a phenomenal little par three. It can play difficult. Wind gets to swirling down there a little bit, and it's just a beautiful spot down there in that course.
So for people that want to come out, maybe they've been to Gamble Sands when it first opened, but now with everything there, what's the best way to do it in terms of setting up? You know, if you're coming from the Portland metropolitan Vancouver area, you're obviously wanting to make at least a long weekend or a few days out of it. What's the ideal way to do it? And what sort of budget do you need to have, you know, kind of per person to make sure that you do it right?
Well, I'll tell you what, best way to do it is just call us directly. Our number is right there on the website. Our front desk can set you up with a hotel stay, gives you all the details on our two restaurants here on property, sets you up with everything you need, including your tee times. Any groups bigger than 12, Our on-site group's golf sales gal, Angela, could definitely set you up and get everything dialed, everything you need. And our guy, James, who handles the groups, phenomenal. Take care of any scoring needs, special needs, on-course games. We got a heck of a team up here that can definitely get your group and the front desk, everybody get you dialed in. Budget-wise, now that does vary. I know we have our shoulder season pricing, our peak season pricing. right now, I would say somewhere in the realm of $1,000 to $1,200 per guy will get you in with rooming, multiple rounds, a couple of dinners here on property. Now, next year, that might actually decrease a little bit. We're going to go away with dynamic pricing, which we've currently been using in the past. And we're just going to set flat fees and make it more affordable for everybody across the board and make it more just easy for everybody. Just call us and just get right in.
Fantastic. As far as, and this will go back to kind of the climate that you're in, how playable is the course year round? Is there a point, and I don't know what you get, you know, snow wise and frost and freezing in the wintertime, but going into, you know, October, November, how playable is the course year round?
You know, excellent question. We actually are seasonal. Our close date this year, we do plan on about usually the third week or so in October. Right now, we're going to shoot for the 19th as a close date. And typically, we open last week of March, early April. I'd say climate back to that is going to be similar to what you see in kind of the Bend area. You know, we'll make it until about that end of October, and between light and frost and just putting the course to bed and want to get everything aerified. Which I should mention, we do not aerify greens until after we're closed. So things stay in pristine condition all the way.
Fantastic. Well, it is an unbelievable facility. I'm trying to get some boys together, plan our voyage up there. And then practice facilities as well, because obviously you talked about 50, 60, 70 feet putts as a link style course. You need some room to be able to practice those as well, and tremendous practice facilities there too.
Absolutely. Great little driving range for your warm up. I would say, you know, talking about those putts, you go right back down to what we call the Cascade putting course, and that thing, 100,000 square foot. You can see it on the website. It is, I mean, you can set yourself up for a 100-yard putt if you'd like. So you can definitely dial those in. And that putting greens, I would say a little designed off of the Himalayas course over in St. Andrews, very lumpy, bumpy, undulating, and fun to get the boys out there and have a little putting competition, but great practice for warm up on course.
Well, we can't wait to send some people your way. Hopefully people have some time here before the season ends in October. Again, gamblesands.com. Go. The new course is Scarecrow. That is open. And hopefully we can send some more people your direction. Randy Ballard, the PGA head professional out there at Gamble Sands, thank you so much for taking some time for us this morning. And hopefully we'll get a chance to get up there sometime soon and take it all in person.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Jason. Appreciate it.
There you go. Randy Ballard, the head professional out at Gamble Sands. The pictures are stunning and amazing. And like I said, I know it's been difficult, people wanting to go to down to Bandon, those areas. It's tough now, the backlog after COVID for getting down there, especially to try to get lodging. Great to hear that they've opened up more beds, and I think that'll be still more to come up there in Brewster. So we appreciate that. We'll come back. A little update on the leaderboards as the leaders getting closer to teeing off at the BMW Championship. The Ryder Cup positions, the qualified or the automatic qualifiers will be set after this tournament, and who the captain's picks might be looking at. It's going to be much more difficult for Keegan Bradley than it will be for Luke Donald on the European side. Wrap things up here before we turn it over to Sports Saturday, as this is Golf in the Northwest on 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Jason Swigart back here with you, Golf in the Northwest. Thanks again to Randy Ballard out there at Gamble Sands. Make the trek. It is just unbelievable country out there. David McClay Kidd putting together another just unbelievable link style course. And trust me, I'm trying to plan for when I can get out there and enjoy everything that it has to offer. They are getting ready for the first groups to head off at Columbia Edgewater, round three of the standard Portland Classic. Caroline Inglis, one of the local players, set to go off at 9:10. She is a member out there. Gigi Stoll will go off at 9:30. They are both at 2 under, making the cut. Lilia Vu Will go off at 9:40, playing with Jody Ewart Shadoff. So some bigger names there as well. As you work your way up the top of the leaderboard, it will be Kiara Romero, the junior to be at Oregon, 8 under par. She will be playing with Piyun Chien of Chinese Taipei. And Brooke Henderson looking for a third Portland Classic victory. She is at 6 under, going off at 12:10 this morning with Sung Hyung Park. Rose Zhang at noon with Stacey Lewis. And then the leaders will be, come on, Mouse. Mouse isn't working. Jungun Lee of Korea and Grace Kim of Australia at 2:10 p.m. this afternoon. So always a fun time out there. The FedEx Cup Champions Championship playoffs in Maryland this week. So round three underway. Robert McIntyre is your leader. 14 under par is a 5-shot lead over Scottie Scheffler. Enough with 36 holes to go to get a victory. Robert McIntyre will definitely be on that European Ryder Cup team. The European team, pretty much everybody believes it's set with Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Sepp Straka, Tyrrell Hatton, Ludvig Åberg, Victor Hovland, Fleetwood, McIntyre, Lowry, Fitzpatrick, Justin Rose. Who will the 12th pick be? Will it be a Højgaard brother? Will it be Harry Hall? Who knows? But things seem pretty set for Luke Donald. Not so set for Keegan Bradley. The big mystery continues to be, will he put himself on the team? He is 10th on the points list right now. The top six automatically qualify following this week. Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa are 7th and 8th. Ben Griffin is 9th. I think all three of those guys will be on the team no matter what. Bryson DeChambeau is 5th. Keegan has said earlier that he will be on the team even if he doesn't qualify because he's done with any qualification whatsoever. Scottie Scheffler, J.J. Spahn, Xander Schauffele clinched their spots last week. I can't wait to see J.J. Spahn. I think he could be a big weapon for the U.S. squad. He's intensely competitive. I think he will embrace the environment at Bethpage Black, but he's able to keep himself under control. You know his penchant for hitting huge putts. He did it to win the U.S. Open. He did it to extend the playoff against Justin Rose last week. And so, boy, I could see him playing with Justin Thomas. I think that could be an interesting pairing. Who will you put Bryson with? That's always an interesting spot. Now you look further down. Cameron Young, who finally got his first PGA championship or first PGA title a couple of weeks ago, will he leapfrog others? Brian Harman, you love to have the lefty in the putting. Hopefully he can get all the waggling out of the way. That can be a little annoying at times. Wyndham Clark, Sam Burns are in the mix, but it's going to be interesting to see how Keegan does this and how important just guys who can bomb it. Andrew Novak is 12th on the list. I think he's on that squad simply due to length. Well, a guy like Chris Goddard, who came on late in the season, got his first victory, he can bomb it as well. How much will Keegan Bradley favor guys whose length will be put on display and put to the test at Bethpage Black? That will be interesting as well to see how he does that. Also going on this weekend down at the Olympic Club, the 125th U.S. Amateur, they are down to the semifinals here later this morning, 11 a.m. and 11:20. Niall Shields-Donegan is a Scottish native, but resides there in the Bay Area. He is playing golf at North Carolina. He is taking on Jackson Harrington, who goes to the University of Tennessee. Mason Howell, a teenager who is a commit to the University of Georgia. He'll be going there with Drew Woolworth here locally. The local players had a great summer. He is taking on Eric Lee, who went from Cal and now is at Oklahoma State. That Cowboys program continues to get guys turning it in. So that'll be on Golf Channel through noon today. You'll see the semifinals and then the 36-hole final tomorrow between Golf Channel and NBC as well. The big story, John Daly the second got all the way to the quarterfinals but could not finish. So John Daly's son, that's drawn a lot of attention. Didn't see any local players get into the stroke play. We had Hodgkinson there, the player from Oregon State, get into the field, obviously, winning the Oregon Amateur, but unfortunately did not make stroke play. So lots of golf going on there to keep an eye on. But that'll do it. Next week, we mentioned we'll be out at the Portland Indoor Golf Club. Down there in Beaverton, a newer indoor facility. We'll meet with Sebastian and Cole. Dominic Marconi will be with us as well to round out the year. He's been such a big help to us with all of these local PGA professionals out at the courses throughout the Pacific Northwest. We'll see what they have in store for the fall coming up. And plans, just anything for you wanting to get out, enjoy more golf, improve your own game, junior opportunities, all of those sorts of things. So we have a full show next week, and then that'll wrap it up for the season because Oregon Ducks football will take over beginning September or August 30th, their opener against Montana State. We got our boys Rashad and Schultze. Schultze will be co-hosting there from the producer chair. What do you guys got for us here coming up in the next few minutes?
Well, I think the big news of the week, obviously, the sale of the Portland Trailblazers. We'll talk about that and what it means for the team. I'd like to tell all the detractors that they need to stop talking about any movement of this team happening. It's not going to. Even still, after they came out, the ESPN article is titled, like, Blazers find new owner staying in Portland. There are people, oh, well, they could still leave after 2030. So we'll talk about that and also what new owner Tom Dundon means for the Portland Trailblazers in their future.
There you go. So stick around with us. They'll take you up till 11 and then Mariners and Mets at 12:30. This afternoon. Thanks to Josh Gaunt as well as Randy Ballard from Gamble Sands for joining us. That'll do it. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jason. Hit 'em straight.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.